Hey everyone, good to see you. Hope you're going well. I'm doing all right. Thanks for asking. Today's a good day here in Quina Life. Where I've started on a new journey here on Sundays, and if you don't mind me saying, it's a good one. It's great, and I'm excited about it. Last week, Donnie kicked us off asking the question, who is my neighbour? And if you missed it, you know, check out the podcast because it's good. But I'm going to do a quick recap for you, so if you missed last week, you won't get all lost and know where we're heading. Donnie spoke to us last week about the greatest commandment in Matthew 22. And I'm sure most of you are familiar with that story. There's an expert of the law, a Hebrew scholar, comes up to Jesus and he asks him a question. And it's a question which would have been asked of a lot of, you know, Jewish rabbis and religious leaders in the first century as well. Which is the greatest commandment? You know what I mean? It's almost like a test for orthodoxy or to see if this guy was actually any good. There are hundreds of commandments of God in the Old Testament. So which is the greatest one was something which was talked about quite a bit. And Jesus responds to this guy in a way which, you know, at first, well, isn't very groundbreaking at all, really. He tells the, retells the Shema to this religious leader, which is, you know, the prayer of the Jews of Jesus' day. They will recite that all the time, and even Orthodox Jews today in their morning and evening prayers will recite this Shema, this thing in Deuteronomy. And I'll put it on the screen there. It's Deuteronomy 6, and it says this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. Cool. And that's how Jesus starts his response. That's a pretty safe answer. That's a good answer. Good job, Jesus. But then, as Jesus typically does, he goes one step forward and challenges people's thinking a bit. This teacher of the law, this Hebrew Bible scholar, only asked Jesus for the greatest commandment. He asked him for just one, and Jesus gave him two. Jesus then quotes from Leviticus 19 in a chapter of laws that are about how we interact with others. And of course, Jesus proclaims that, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. Boom, two for the price of one. These two commandments are important. You know, our relationship with God, that's, you know, critically important for the how we are. And our relationship with others, that's so important as well. This is how the Christian lives, with relationship with God and relationship with others. Now, it's interesting here to note that Jesus wasn't the first to preach that loving God and loving others captures the essence of what God expects from his people. One of the most famous rabbis of the first century BC, before Jesus, is called Hillel the Elder. And he had a massive following, and he became the boss of all the Pharisees, you know, before Jesus' time. He features in the Midrash and the Talmud, which are two of the, you know, the Jewish holy books which they still use to this day. And one of Hillel's famous teachings is this one. He says this. He says, that which is hateful to you, do not do to your fellow. That is the whole Torah, the law books. The rest is explanation. Go and learn. So, wise words. Thanks, Hillel. And under the influence of Hillel and others, by the time Jesus comes onto the scene, about 100 years later, the whole love God and love your neighbor idea, it's a popular one. And we see this in Luke 10 as well, because what happens in that chapter, this same kind of conversation happens. The expert of the law quotes these to Jesus and saying, hey, I think these are good. Something that Jesus does, though, when he talks about these two commandments together in Matthew 22, he connects them saying the second is like it. Donnie showed us last week how Jesus connects the loving God commandment of Deuteronomy and the loving neighbor commandment of Leviticus as two sides of the one coin. They are inseparable. And I'd like to suggest that what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. This is new ground that Jesus is breaking here, the way that he joins them together. Ground that makes people, especially, you know, scholarly people like this teacher in the law, makes them a bit uncomfortable. You know, loving God, yeah, we can love God, sure. Loving your neighbor, it's a little bit harder. But that's not all, because even if you think you can do this, if you think you can love God with all your heart and your soul and your strength, and if you think you can love your neighbor as yourself, Jesus lifts the bar again in Luke 10, and he redefines for those people what is meant by neighbor. The Jewish laws have a lot to say about how you treat your neighbor. Big parts of the Old Testament make it really clear that people need to look after and value their neighbors. And that's awesome, right? But here's the thing. When the people of Jesus' day would read about how they should treat their neighbor in the Old Testament, they're thinking about how they treat other Jews, how they treat the people who are just like them. The full text of Leviticus 19 that Jesus quotes from with that love your neighbor of yourself actually says this: do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. And so the Jews, they treated each other nicely. We know from history that the Jews did a better job than most ancient peoples when it came to living well together. But you can, you know, read your Bible and find out that they were far, far away from what God really wanted for them. But compared to other ancient peoples, they're above average when it came to caring for each other. But here's where it gets interesting. In the Old Testament, it doesn't just have laws about how to treat your neighbors well, how to treat the people like you well. It also has laws on how to treat strangers well. It has laws on how to treat foreigners well, people who are not like Jews, people from a different ethnic background, people who worship other gods, people who are just very different. And the Old Testament says, of course, that you should treat these people well, look after them when they are needy, all those kinds of things. But Jews weren't that great at keeping that part of the law. They were good at loving their own, but not so good at loving the other. And Jesus knows this, and he challenges the culture of his day about it. Just as he affirmed loving God and loving your neighbor as being connected in Luke 10, someone is foolish enough to ask him, but who is my neighbor? And to answer him, Jesus doesn't say, your fellow Jews. He tells a story of the Good Samaritan. Your neighbor could be very different from you. Your neighbor could be a foreigner. They could have a different religion. Their beliefs could be quite offensive to you. But it doesn't matter. Because of your relationship with God, you love that stranger, that foreigner, that Buddhist, that humanist, that anarchist, whoever they are, you love that neighbor as you love yourself. Wow, Jesus. That's pretty intense, really. For the last little while here at Quine Life, something that we have talked about a bit is what we have called the Oikos Project. Oikos is the Greek word used in the Bible for house or household, and particularly the people that live in that community. The Oikos Project is Quine Life being a voice of hope to the Oceanside community. Where is the Oceanside community? It's out that window. It's the area which is, you know, just being built or is being built just outside our front doorstep, stretching from the area where the new hospital is all the way to the beach. Basically, there are thousands of people who have moved into and will continue to move into that community. Because they are on our doorstep, they are just outside our oikos, our house. And we see them as our neighbors. And Jesus calls us to love our neighbors as we love ourselves, especially those who are in need. And what do we know about them from reaching how new communities... So what we do know from researching how new communities form and from speaking to council and developers and the different people involved in that space is that these new estates don't have established relationships. And even though the people are living almost on top of each other because the land blocks are so small, things like loneliness and isolation are significant in that community. We are their neighbors, and we want to be part of the new community and demonstrate to them what the kingdom of God is like. We already have an established hospital ministry in that precinct with the coffee chaplains heading in there twice a week. And over the course of the Christmas time, it was great to sing carols there and distribute gifts and all that kind of stuff, which is really awesome. Last year, we did some workshops on the different ways to reach into that community, and we explored quite a few different things. Many of you would know there's community land in that area, and that we have been pursuing to build a building there for the benefit of the community groups and humanitarian services in that area, which would also serve as a home for us as a church. And this year, we're continuing to pursue those opportunities, and something that we aim to do next is better understand the needs of that community to try and meet it. So there's a whole bunch of stuff going on there as part of our Oikos project. And that's all really excellent and exciting stuff. I hope you're activated by it too. As our church, we are working hard to be a good neighbor to that community and to love our neighbors as ourselves. But something that we realized last year on our journey of workshops, our conversations and different activities last year was that we need to be very careful with the way that we steward our time and resources here in this church. All of this Oikos stuff, it's really great. It's biblical. It's what we should be doing. And it's something that we will continue to do. But we don't want to spend all our time and energy on a single corporate mission field. What we should do is make sure we get the balance right, the balance between reaching the neighbors of our church building and the neighbors that we all have individually. Something that I think is a really important part of the parable of the Good Samaritan that was read earlier is that the Levite, the priest, and the Samaritan were just going about their everyday lives when they encountered the injured man. None of them were out on a humanitarian mission. None of them were carrying out a program of ministry to beating up people by the side of the road. The person who was hurt was just appeared in their path as they went about their everyday business. And the priest, the Levite, and the Samaritan, they chose whether or not to love this neighbor as they went about their everyday. Now, don't get me wrong, ministry to the lost and the last and the least, that's heaps important, and Jesus told plenty of parables about intentionally seeking the lost. What we need to remember, it's not an either or, it's a both and. We want to be intentionally involved in ministries where we go somewhere for a particular purpose. But in doing so, we should not be blinded to the opportunities that exist right outside our front door at home. We should not ignore the people that we see regularly that God has just put in our path. And so to make sure that we're keeping our balance right here in Kiwana Life with the way that we do ministry and the way that we love our neighbours individually, from now until Easter, we're doing a new series and we're calling it My Oikos. My Oikos. Because Oikos means house. And as a church, we want to do ministry out of this house, this building, but we aren't only to do ministry out of this house, but in the houses that we live in as well. I have an oikos, and you have an oikos, and if we are to love our neighbours as ourselves, well, we should do ministry out of that oikos. Here at Kiwana Life, some of the words we use are we live by faith, we're known by love, and we want to be a voice of hope. We want that for the corporate ministries of this church and for the personal ministry that each of us have in our own houses. So some of the words that we want to put around this is, I am a voice of hope in my neighborhood, my oikos. I am a voice of hope. It's one thing for this church to be successfully reaching into the Oceanside community out there, but if we are all reaching our neighborhoods as well, wow. What a multiplication effect that can have with the broader Sunshine Coast. Who knows what that could bring about? So for the next couple of months, we're going to be talking a lot about my oikos and some of the practicalities about loving our neighbours, our literal neighbours, as ourselves. Is there anyone here who likes practical things? Yes, good. Well, we can do all that and it's going to be really fun. And if you're really keen, you can take the first step now, right now, in the middle of my sermon. I'm giving you permission to do something a bit different. Now, there was one of these things in the newsletter today. And those who are very clever probably already figured out what it's for. This is for you to fill out. And you can, if you want to, you can start right now. Or you can just listen. This is a challenge, actually, because how are we to love our neighbours as we love ourselves if we don't even know who they are? And Please don't feel guilty or ashamed or anything like that. That's not what this is about. But this is trying to help us. So if you imagine that's your house in the middle there, and there's probably some people who live around your house, you can actually start writing their names, who they are, and some information about them. So if you want to, for example, how many kids they have or what they do for a living and all that kind of stuff. Maybe if you know what loud music their kids listen to late at night, you could write that down as well. Now, not everyone here lives in, standard block size suburbia, and you can take some liberties here with how you fill out your Oikos sheet. If you live on a big property and you only see your neighbor every whatever, maybe you want to add some different names in there. People who actually you see every day, someone from the cafe where you buy your coffee from, or maybe the people when you do the school drop-off, whatever that is. So this is for the community that you connect with just, in your everyday organically. But here's the other thing, if there are neighbors here and you don't know who they are, and so you can't really put their name down because you don't know what their name is, so what do we do now? Are we off the hook? Do we just not worry about it? No. It's a great opportunity for us to be reminded we want to be connecting with the people who live around us. But don't fret, your homework this week isn't to fill out the whole thing and get a essay on each person. This is a starting point, okay? We write down what we know, and for this week, let's put in our Bibles and a devotional book or whatever it is. Let's pray for our neighbors. And as the opportunities present themselves over the next few weeks or whatever, start filling them out. And we're going to talk more about how we can actually engage better with our neighbors over the following weeks. This is just the start of my Oikos, to be a voice of hope in my neighborhood. And the reason we do all of this stuff is because of the greatest commandment, to love the Lord our God with all our heart and our soul and our strength. We can't love our neighbors well unless we love God first. Loving God is our starting point. And in many ways, it's the logical place to start, because in many ways, it's easier to love God than it is to sometimes love other people. God has blessed us each so much with life, with family, friends, places to live, and that's all great. But what's more significant than that is that even though all of us have done wrong in our lives, even though we have let God down and we have sinned, God made a way for us to be in relationship with Him again. Through Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross that we sung about earlier, and through His resurrection on the third day, we can be forgiven for all we have done and experience new life in relationship with Him. Because of what He has done, we can love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and strength. And so, we respond with praise. We respond in prayer to God, spending time daily with Him. We respond by living our lives, not in our way, but His way. And as we do, we find that it's the best way to live. And God's way of living with other people is to love our neighbors as ourselves. Out of the overflow of love that God has for us and that we have for Him, we pour it into the lives of people around us. People in our street, people we meet in the shops, people we bump into at work, people we see regularly. Some of these people are like us, and some of these people are completely different from us. But it doesn't matter. We love them all the same, because the love of Christ cuts across cultural boundaries, socioeconomic boundaries, political boundaries, and any other boundary you can think of. I'll get the band to come back up now. So this week, as we start our journey together, our new journey called My Oikos, may we continue to prioritize loving the Lord our God with all our heart, our soul, and strength. Let us spend lots of time in the Word of God, in prayer, in reading the Bible, in worship to Him. And may we love our neighbors as ourselves. May we take time to list all these names of people who live around our Oikos. And may we work towards getting to know them better and connecting with them more into the future. And when our neighbors are in need, may we be that good Samaritan who put the needs of others a herd of his own. And if we do this, we fulfill all the words of the law and the prophets, and we discover life to the full. I'm just going to pray. God, I want to thank you so much that you loved us first. And as a result of that love that you have for us, that resulted in your action of sending your son, may we also experience that love and share that love that results in our action of loving our neighbors as ourselves. So this morning, God, and for the next few weeks as we consider how better to love our neighbors as ourselves, I just want to pray that you give us insight into the needs of the people around us, and you give us a soft heart to be able to work for the needs of those in our sphere of influence. So thank you for this time, God. Thank you for this word. And looking forward to the new thing that you do amongst us as we start to think more about better doing ministry in the context of our oikos. So thank you, God. Amen.